We turn in the Word of God this morning to Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. As far we read God's word, we call our attention to verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then, of course, the conclusion of the psalm with the same words in verse 9. Now, this passage of scripture and passages such as this is based the truth of God's word as we find it in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. Question and answer 122. Which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. We have now entered into the inner sanctuary of God. We have approached unto the throne of our Almighty God and our Heavenly Father. And we have done so with fear and trembling, because there is not so great a God as our God. He reigns in the heavens as the Creator. You and I are but little creatures of the dust. And yet, we came into the presence of our God with confidence. Not confidence that can be found in ourselves, but a confidence that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come with fear and reverence, but we come with confidence too, that when we enter into God's presence, he hears and answers our prayer. But the question that arises, of course, is what ought we to say? Well, we say that which is foremost in our thoughts and our hearts after addressing God as our Father, who art in heaven. You see, if we are truly aware of whose presence into which we come now, then our hearts will still be filled with thoughts of God, and not immediately thinking about ourselves and our own possible glory. The first thought that will come to mind, therefore, is what a great and a glorious God you and I serve. How wonderful it is that God, in his grace, has chosen me to be one of his children and included me in his own family and household. Therefore, the first petition will flow right out of that address of our prayers. Hallowed be thy name. In that first petition, Jesus teaches you and me what to pray. And that prayer flows rather naturally out of a redeemed heart whose thoughts now have been lifted on high where God dwells in heaven. And we immediately seek to honor the name of our God whose name we have just mentioned while addressing him. If you and I were to take a glance at the Lord's Prayer as is recorded for us once again in question and answer 119 of Lord's Day 45, we would find that there are in reality a total of 7 petitions. I know we talked about 6 last week, and then a doxology of praise, but in a certain sense, even that doxology of praise is a petition before God. We will find that in the first 3 of these petitions, we deal really with God and the establishment of His kingdom in this world. In the next 3, we finally turn our thoughts to our own desires and especially our own needs. And then the last one, as we said, is a doxology of praise to God for who He is. So well that we understand that, because the petitions in our prayer that Jesus teaches us are not arbitrary. They're not hodgepodge in any particular order, but there is a particular sequence, a particular order that these petitions follow. And the first of these must be, "Hallowed be thy name," because that, after all, is the chief desire of a believer. Not only does this flow naturally out of our mouths because we have contemplated who we are praying to, but it's right. It's right that we raise this particular petition before God first. The glory of God's name ought to be the chief desire of every child of God. In our prayers to God, we also keep that in mind. And so we begin with this particular petition this morning, "Hallowed be thy name." In the first place, we want to consider the meaning of that petition or the idea of it. Secondly, the request that we make in that petition, because it is a petition. And then thirdly, the concern that we express in that petition. The meaning, the request, and the concern. We want, first of all, to clarify for ourselves the meaning of this petition that Jesus teaches us to pray. And to do so, we need to say, first of all, a little bit about that name of God, and then a little bit more about the need to hallow that name of God. When we raise this request that God's name be hallowed, we, in essence, are asking God that we keep properly the third commandment. That's what we're asking God for in this petition, that He will teach you and me properly to keep the third commandment. That commandment, as we already well know because we've considered it, deals with God's names. In that commandment, we are told that we may not use God's name in a frivolous and an empty manner. We may not abuse the name of God. That's in the negative. In the positive, in that commandment, we learn that we must use God's names with fear and reverence, that we hallow that name of our God, so that when we take this petition of our prayers, then, and we raise it before God, we are asking God, "Lord, teach me to keep that third commandment. Teach me to give reverence and fear unto thy great and thy glorious name." And that is true because both this petition of the Lord's Prayer and the third commandment find their essence in, or basis in, the names of God. God's names, remember, are unique. We recall our treatment of that third commandment. That's what we spoke of, that commandment. His names are unique. His names are not like our names. Our names we simply use for the purposes of identification. That's not true of God, yes? It's true that we use His names to identify Him, but God's names are really a whole lot more than that. For example, the psalmist says in Psalm 5, verse 11, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You have that word name there. Let all those that love thy name be joyful. Now, let's take that word name out of that verse and put the word thee in its place. Let them also that love thee be joyful in thee. God's name represents God. That's the purpose of God's name. Another example for that is a little bit later on in Psalm 20. We read there once again in verse 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." God's name defends us? Of course not. God defends us. But the psalmist here uses that name of God as a designation of who God is. Let that God of Jacob defend us. The name of the God of Jacob defend us. The Psalms are filled with those kinds of examples where the name of God is used in the place of God himself. And that very simply points out to you and me that God is his names. God is his names. There is no other name under heaven other than that name of God that will defend the child of God. There is no other name under heaven that will comfort and strengthen the child of God. Why? Because God defends us and God comforts us in all of our needs. And that is true because those names of God touch the very being of God himself. The names of God in Scripture reveal to you and me who and what God is. That is to say, they reveal the varied attributes or characteristics of our God. So when I mention the name, let's say Jehovah, then that name speaks of God's sovereignty. It speaks of God's unchangeableness, his omnipresence, everywhere presence, his faithfulness, and so on. That's all contained, you see, in that name Jehovah. So when I speak that name Jehovah, I'm touching on the very essence of God, his being, his attributes. When I use the name God, or Elohim, as we find it in the Old Testament scriptures, it points out to the many virtues of that God, to his righteousness, his holiness, his omnipotence, his wisdom, and so on. So it is that when we ask God to hallow his name, then we are asking this, that God himself be honored and glorified as God in all of his infinite perfections. So much about God's names. Now, secondly, we want to say just a little bit about that word hallowed, and we want to do that because, well, that word hallowed is not used in modern English all that much anymore, it seems. This term translated both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament means to set apart. Hallowed means to set apart. And it refers, therefore, to something that is set apart and is dedicated solely for sacred or for holy use. Hallowed means that something is set apart or dedicated for sanctified holy use. When applied to the name of God, it becomes obvious, doesn't it? It means that we take that name of God and we set it aside, we set it apart from all else in order that that name alone might be glorified and honored. To hallow his name is to give God high honor and veneration. He exclusively is set aside for our worship and our praise. So, to hallow God's name means to magnify to the highest possible degree the being, and the perfections of our God. We bear in mind, of course, that God does not need that. God does not need our praises. God does not need us to hallow His name because, well, if we don't, then He's going to be deficient in some way. If we don't glorify God, it doesn't mean that God's glory is diminished at all. That's not what this petition is talking about. God doesn't need man at all in this regard, because you see, God is all glorious in Himself. And even if every person in this world would despise God and despise His name and trample it under their feet, God would still be glorified. He doesn't need you and me, of course, to hallow His name in order that He be hallowed. When the wicked man of this world uses God's name in vain because he hates God, that doesn't do anything to diminish the honor and the majesty of God. Not at all. In fact, we read that God sits in the heavens and He laughs at wicked, foolish men when they despise Him and act as if He's not even there. He laughs at them. Why? Because He's all glorious in the heavens, whether man wants to admit it or not. And there are very few, it seems, in our day that want to admit that. We also can understand, therefore, don't we, the need to pray, "Hallowed be Thy name." God has saved us for that express reason of showing forth His praises. And when we do this, when we show forth God's praises, then we are, in fact, hallowing the name of our God. And God commands this exactly because He desires for you and me, His children, to bring glory to His name. That's why He saved you and me, that we might hallow His name. Now, one more thing yet before we move along to the petition itself. We ought to realize that not only does this include the name of God, the petition that we make here is that we also hallow the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, our Savior, when He took His seat at God's right hand in heaven, was given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You and I not only ask God, therefore, that we hallow His names through this prayer, but we ask God that we might also hallow the names of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Why? Because Christ, in the first place, is God. And just as we hallow the name of our triune God, so also we hallow the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus, who is Christ, who is Lord, and so on. And we hallow the name of the Holy Spirit, who is God. And furthermore, we hallow the name of our Savior because of exactly what we've mentioned. He is now enthroned in heaven at God's right hand. He sits in a position of highest power and authority. And when we speak the names of Jesus, we touch on the very essence and character of our Savior, who He is too. Because every one of the names of Jesus has its particular meaning as to who our Savior is. So when we pray this petition, "Hallowed be Thy name," then not only do we ask that God's name be hallowed, but also the name of our Savior. Understanding the idea of this petition, we direct our attention specifically to what we are asking for now in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. You understand, this is a petition. Maybe it doesn't sound that way. "Hallowed be Thy name." It almost sounds as if it's a statement. God's name is hallowed, but that's not the idea of this particular petition. It's a petition. That is, it's something that you and I are asking for in connection with our Savior. We're asking God, or in connection with God, we're asking God something that we need as God's children. In essence, you and I, in this particular petition, are asking or requesting of God two important concerns. Two of them. First of all, we're asking that God hallow His own name. In the second place, and we'll consider this in a moment, we're asking God that we in our lives also might hallow His name. But in the first place, we're asking that God will hallow His name. That is, that God Himself will glorify Himself. We're asking God to do that. Now, at first, that may seem to us as a rather absurd request, because God does hallow His name. Of course He's going to hallow His name. Of course He's going to bring glory to His name. And we don't need to ask God to do that, to bring honor now to His own name. God always directs all things according to His divine purpose and His good pleasure. And at the heart of God's counsel is that desire, isn't it? I mean, this is the purpose of God in all things, to bring honor and glory to His own name. Well, then why ought you and I to ask God to do this? Because we're not asking God to do something for Himself, beloved saints. In this petition, we're not asking God to do something for Himself. He does it. We are asking Him to do something for us. We are making a request because we see our need in this regard. We need to realize how everything in this world and everything in our own personal lives must always be subservient to the glory of God's name. Even if that means for me personally shame and degradation, may God's name be glorified. May He hallow His name. And God does that. And we ask Him to do that. We ask Him to do that, hallow be Thy name, in everything that takes place in history and in this world. Do you and I realize, beloved saints, what's going to happen in the future? The Bible teaches us that as time progresses, the Antichrist is going to reign over this world. And that Antichrist will be anti-Christ and anti-Christian. We realize that in the course of the events that take place in this world, eventually, the Church of Jesus Christ will be persecuted. They'll go through a great tribulation. We realize that before Jesus Christ comes again, there will be perils for the Church of Jesus Christ. And when you and I pray this petition, Thy will be done, then we're saying, so be it, Lord. Follow the course of Thy good pleasure, no matter what happens to you and to me and to our children and our grandchildren. Hallowed be Thy name. May Thy name be glorified in all the events that take place in this present world. We ask God that He will hallow His name in creation, even if that means that I have to live through pestilence, that I might have to live through a hurricane or that I might have to live through a tornado or an earthquake or a flood. Hallowed be thy name, Lord, if it were to destroy my house. Hallowed be thy name. Even if it might take everything away from me in my life due to the natural catastrophes that I see surround me. Hallowed be thy name in the creation. Hallowed be thy name in the church. As time goes on, again, a sign of Jesus Christ coming. Apostasy in the church. A great falling away from the truth of God's word will take place in this world, in the church. We see it happening all around us in churches today. A falling away from the truth of God's word and following after the lie. A making up of a God who's not really God and a Christ who's not really Christ. We see it all the time. And that too will lead to the persecution of the true church of Christ. Thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name, Lord, in all of these things that take place in the church. Now, a little bit more personally. Hallowed be thy name in my life and in the life of my family. Easy to say when everything seems to be going well for us, isn't it? When life is running smoothly, when we have everything to our heart's content, health, wealth, no trouble in the home and family. But what if God sends us sickness and illness in life? Life-threatening illness. What if God takes from us everything that we have? What if God takes from us a husband or a wife? We ready to say, hallowed be thy name, Lord. If this is the way that God has chosen to glorify himself in my life, then it doesn't matter what happens to me. God, may thy name be glorified in all of the earth and in my life too. So, we have a petition before us, you see. And we're asking God, Lord, hallow thy name, no matter what the circumstances of life that confront me in my present life in this world. Hallow thy name, Lord. Now that petition becomes very, very real for us, you see. It's not just an abstract petition that we're making of God. It's acknowledging that God sovereignly controls and providentially leads everything that happens in this world as well as in my life. So, we make our request in the first place for that reason. The second reason we make such a request to God is in order that we might hallow his name in all of the earth. We, in our lives, must bring glory to the name of God. Now, that petition, of course, of the Lord's Prayer becomes a whole lot more real when we find ourselves living in the present world that we do. Because in this life, sinful man, sometimes including you and me too, sinful man would rather hallow his own name, would rather bring glory to himself. And that evil tendency runs rampant through this world. I do not care what happens to others so long as I stand at the top of the heap. I am going to promote my name. I am going to promote my prestige and my glory. And the wicked world would say, I'm willing to do most everything in order to do that. That wicked attitude, of course, of the world reveals itself in all kinds of different ways. I'm going to kill somebody in order to glorify my own name. He's getting in my way. So it becomes the basis for murder, huh? I want more and I deserve more in the way of wealth than what my neighbor is. So it becomes stealing. I'm going to make myself beautiful because I'm worth it. Pride. I want to hallow myself. I want to glorify myself in this world. I'm going to boast of everything that I have done and everything that I'm accomplishing in my life. I'm going to brag to others about all of these things that I'm doing in my own life. Glorify my own name. This is for the most part the motive behind even the humanistic efforts of man today. Help mankind. Yeah, why? Because it makes me feel good to help somebody else. Help mankind. Yeah, why? Well, because I want people to recognize my name. I'll put it on a building over there on the way to Children's Hospital so that people will recognize that I'm the one who contributed all this wealth to help all of those poor dear children and their families. Man is out to seek to glorify himself, to hallow his own name. And people of God, that tendency is even in our own sinful natures. Do not wrong me, because if you wrong me, I'm going to wrong you too. I will not be the underdog. So we are always so careful, aren't we, to try to hold our own name in high esteem among others. And because God has worked in you and me that kind of knowledge of our own sin, we come before God in all humility because of the grace of God that works in us, and we say, Lord, teach me to swallow my own pride and my own self-seeking in order that thy name might be hallowed in my life. Or, to use the words of the Heidelberg Catechism at the conclusion of question and answer 122, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Now, that's exactly the opposite of a wicked heart. Notice how the Catechism points out those three categories, huh? So that I might order my thoughts, words, and actions. That's what we're really asking of God in the petition that we presently have before us, too. We ask of God that he will first of all work in our hearts and in our thoughts by his Spirit, so that we have a desire, truly a desire, to magnify the name of God in our lives. That's where it all starts, you know. We ask God this because we're not interested in putting on a fakey front to everybody else around us. Lord, you know, may I show in my words and in my actions that I'm above all these things. We're not interested in a fakey front. Lord, work in my heart, my heart. It's not our desire to appear sanctimonious. That is, as one affecting piousness in his life. We do not wish to be hypocritically devout. You see what I mean by that. We pray that because we truly, in the inner recesses of our being, in our hearts, truly wish to magnify the name of our God. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. That's where we want the Holy Spirit to work within us. So that in our hearts, we take the words of the psalmist upon our lips. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then I look at myself as opposed to God's glory. And in my heart I say, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. The picture of God setting the heavens in place with just the tips of his fingers. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I ask myself this question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Who am I, Lord, in comparison to thee, the almighty creator of heaven and earth, the one who has called all things into existence by thy power, the one who by that same word of thy power upholds and governs everything to fulfill thy sovereign will and good pleasure. Lord, teach me in my heart to hallow thy name. That's where my desire is. So that my heart thrills with the power of thy greatness and thy glory. So that the thoughts that proceed out of my heart will give rise to thoughts of God and his majesty. We ask in this petition, let that be the motivating principle of my life. Bring glory and honor to the name of my God. But not only in my thoughts, but may those desires and thoughts that are within flow forth into the words that I speak as well. Now that touches upon that third commandment, doesn't it? Do not use God's names in vain. Don't abuse the names of God. In the way that we speak, the words that we bring forth. So we're asking God in a very real way, Lord, may I hallow thy name now in every way that I speak. In my prayers, may I hallow thy name. At first I thought, well, maybe it would be worthwhile to talk about thee and thou in prayer. But to become involved in that kind of a thing is merely becoming involved in tradition, a good old Dutch tradition, where in the Dutch language they have a word or pronoun to hold and honor those who are in authority. Well, so the Dutch like to use the word thee and thou to hold God in a position of honor and authority. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a very good practice. I do it myself. But nevertheless, we do realize that Jesus Christ himself didn't teach us to pray using thee and thou. He used the Koine Greek, which was the common Greek that you used to address anybody else and everybody else. So when a person sincerely prays you and your in a prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. And if a person prays thee and thou and thinks that that somehow is crediting something in God's sight or meriting in God's sight, he's wrong. He's wrong. But the pronouns we use can also be used to magnify God. Whatever the case, the words that we speak must magnify God. The songs that we sing, we're asking God, Lord, when I sing that Psalter number in church, may I not so concentrate on the tune, may I not so concentrate on the words, but, oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah. May thy name be glorified in the songs that I sing coming from a heart sincere. in my conversation with others. When I talk about God, may I hallow His name. When I talk about Jesus Christ, may I hallow His name. And by all means, Lord, keep me from abusing the name of God and of Jesus Christ in the things that I say. Swearing. So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, hallow Thy name in all of the earth. And then, of course, we ask God to hallow His name in our actions as well, and in our deeds. How important that is in our lives too, beloved saints. You and I bear the name of Jesus Christ. We're Christians, right? We become known in this world as Christians. Well, that's bearing the name of Christ. We're followers of Christ. Christ. So that the name of Christ is written across our foreheads. Well, do you realize, beloved saints, when we sin, every time we walk in wickedness, we're not smearing our own name only. We're smearing the name of Christ that we bear. Lord, may I, in everything that I do, hallow Thy name. Bring glory to Thy name. May I honor Thee, Lord, in all of my actions, in the places that I go, in the entertainment that I seek. May Thy name be honored, because that's the desire of my heart. In the things that I do in my home and in my family, as a father, as a mother, as a husband and a wife, in our relationships in the home, Lord, may Thy name be honored and glorified on my part, so that I might walk always holy before Thee. And may I order my life in such a way, and it takes order in the life of the child of God, it takes discipline. May I order my life in such a way that others might see and might magnify the name of the Lord with me. Ah, to understand our salvation, people of God. We were that wicked world. We had no fear of God's name. We walked despising God's name, abusing God's name. But God, by His grace, has taken hold of your and my hearts. And through the powerful work of Jesus Christ and the Spirit that He sends forth, He's delivered us out of that. That the clutches of unbelief no longer hold us in its sway, you see. We've been set free. We've been set free. But we haven't been set free to serve ourselves. We've been set free to serve God. And you and I have been called out of the darkness of this world and into God's marvelous light for one end, that we might show forth the praises of our God. That's what we must do in our thoughts and desires, in our words, in our actions. Our salvation requires of you and me that we walk in a way that praises God in our deeds. So we pray, hallowed be Thy name. This petition is a chief concern in our life. There is nothing we want more than that God's name receive the glory. And along with this concern is that this same glory be rendered unto the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That in His name too we should bow with every other knee before Him and honor Him as we honor God. After all, that's the doxology, isn't it? That's sung by John and by the angels in Revelation. Glory and honor and power and blessing be unto Him that sits upon the throne, that is to God, and unto the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ Himself. That's our concern. And that concern now is going to be present in our prayers. This particular concern will be ours unto all eternity. Unto all eternity, we're going to be praying the petition, "Hallowed be thy name, Lord." That's striking, because none of the other petitions of the Lord's Prayer are going to follow us into eternity. You realize that? They'll all be fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes again at the end of time. But here's a petition that follows us all the way out into all eternity, and that's why it's the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. It becomes our chief concern. And as such, it will now set the basis for the remaining petitions of our prayers. After we raise it, we are in the proper mind now to raise the other petitions before God in prayer too. And that petition will form the basis of all of the requests. They're all subject, they're all subservient to God hallowing His name in all the earth. And only as God fulfills this petition will you and I be ready also to ask of Him, "Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," or "To God be the glory. Great things He has done." Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, before Thee we bow again in this day, and we're thankful unto Thee for Thy Word, which teaches us to pray. There are so many things that we need to remember in our prayers, and the chief thing that we need to remember is that Thy name be glorified in all the earth. May that be true of us in our own lives. May we bring praise and honor unto Thee, our God. May that be true, Father, in everything that Thou dost perform in this world. Glorify Thy name in all of the works of Thy hands. We ask, too, that Thou wilt continue to watch over us and guide us so that that might be our chief desire as well. Forgive us of our sins, even the weaknesses that we reveal in the prayers that we raise unto Thee. Forgive us for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen.